This morning I want to talk about Satan's schemes, Satan's strategy, and the schemes and strategies that he comes up with against the people of God. We need to be aware, and I want to show you a verse, and we're going to look at this, and then we're going to close this service with some warfare, and we're going to drive the enemy out. Amen. How many of you believe it's time we give him an eviction notice? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan's strategy, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, we don't want him to do that. So in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes or his strategies. We're not unaware. So you have to be aware. You have to know. How many of you know there's a devil? I'm telling you, he's real. And he's evil. There's such a thing as evil in the world, if you hadn't noticed. And you are not on his favorite list. You're not one of his favorites. He doesn't like you. And we need to be aware. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you, Lord, for getting our minds in the right place that we know we are doing spiritual warfare against an enemy, but we also know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We also know that we have been made more than conquerors through him who loved us. We also know that we have been made overcomers through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that the battle belongs to the Lord, and we know that the battle is won in the name of Jesus. And for those that are being oppressed by the enemy, for those who are being attacked by the enemy, for those who are being tormented by the enemy today, in the name of Jesus, we come against that enemy and we bring up the word of God and we give him an eviction notice by the word of God and tell him to leave this place and leave the people of God alone. Lord, you said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you would raise up a standard. And Lord, we're asking you to raise up a standard against the enemy today and stop him in his tracks right now in the name of Jesus, that he can do no more in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Paul uses this word, hegeo, which means knowledge, when he says, I'm unaware. We are not unaware. We are not unaware. We are not without knowledge. We know. In other words, he's saying we know. We know what the devil's up to. We know what he's doing. We're not blind to that fact. We're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. It's important that as the people of God, that we understand we have an enemy and that we understand what he's up to and that we understand what he's doing. The power of discernment, the gift of discernment in your life is one of the most important gifts of the Holy Spirit. That you can discern when God is moving and when he's not. You can discern and know what is God and what is not God. The Lord will speak to you and show you and keep you out of those traps and those things that the enemy has set out there for you and for your family and for your children. And you can recognize it and know, you know what? This is not God. This is not the Lord. This is not good. And sometimes he tries to dress those things up. You know, he wraps his garbage up in some pretty wrapping paper and he can fool you. Amen. And get you in trouble really quick. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm going to show you that you have an advantage. Say, I have an advantage. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people. You're chosen. Amen. You are a royal priesthood. Say, I'm a royal priesthood. Say that again. I am a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. Say holy nation. God's special possession. Say that. God's special possession. Me? I'm God's special possession? Yes. He bought you. He ransomed you. He redeemed you. You belong to Him. You're His special possession. He bought you with the price of the blood of His Son. Amen. So you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession. Why? So that you might declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful life. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Why should I be praising God? Because you're chosen. Because you're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. We're going to find out in our study in Hebrews what that royal priesthood is all about. God's special possession. If that's not a reason to praise God, I don't know what is. Amen. We have a reason to be joyful, to be praising the Lord. Quit letting everything around you drag you down. Quit letting everything around you affect how you feel. Quit letting everything you see on TV affect your mood for the day. Folks, look at the Word of God. And when the enemy tries to tear you down, say, wait a minute. I'm a chosen person, people. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm God's special possession. Don't feed that garbage to me. Amen?
Amen.
Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. The verse in 1 Peter said, you've been called out of darkness into His wonderful light. This verse tells us we've been rescued out of the dominion of darkness. Folks, you're not in the dominion of darkness anymore. You are not in the dominion of darkness anymore. You've been brought into the kingdom of His Son. You've been brought into a place of light. You've been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light. He has rescued you. Oh, I'm so glad God came to rescue us. And the story about Lot, the Bible says that Lot cast his tents towards Sodom. The Bible says that he lifted up his eyes and he saw the well-watered plains of Sodom. That means it was green, it was lush, it looked good, it was attractive to the eye, and he was drawn there. You know, that's the way the enemy does us. He has his strategies, his schemes, and he draws us in. He wraps it up and he makes it look good and he makes it look attractive, and he kind of lures you in and he pulls you toward it. And Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw that, and it drew him. He thought, man, that'd be a nice place to live. It looks prosperous. It looks wealthy. It looks good. Everybody looks happy. Everybody's partying. It's just, you know, I want to be a part of that. And he was drawn. He was, you know, this old desert land that his uncle Abraham was always walking around in. He just didn't want any more of that. And he was drawn toward it. And the Bible says that he pitched his tents toward Sodom. He moved toward that wickedness. And the Bible says he wound up sitting in the gates of the city, which means that Lot had some kind of position of authority in Sodom. And he sat in a place of authority. And over time, the Bible says that Sodom began to get in him. And he not only just pitched his tents and started living in Sodom, but Sodom started living in him. The Bible says that the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul. He knew better. He didn't like it. He wasn't comfortable with it. He knew what was going on around him. Listen to me, church. He knew what was going on around him wasn't right. But he compromised. He sold out and he pitched his tents towards Sodom and he looked the other way. And even though the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul, Sodom started getting in him over a period of time. Folks, I'm telling you, we live in a time of darkness. We live in a time when the enemy is luring and calling and enticing, and we've got to be careful. We need to stand our ground against those strategies and against those schemes, and he's just slowly pulling you in. Be careful where you pitch your tent. Be careful where you put your feet. Be careful where you dwell. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you're dwelling in. And it got in Lot after a while. And the Bible says that God decided to destroy Sodom. And in His mercy, Abraham pleaded for him. And in His mercy, God decided to spare Lot and to save him. And He sent angels. I want you to look at this. He sent angels. And the wickedness of the place was so great. When those angels walked into the city, the men of the city wanted to have relationships with them because they were new and they were attractive to them. And Lot had fallen so far that he offered his daughters in exchange for the guests that he had, these angelic guests. He had sunk that low where he was willing to make that deal and willing to make that compromise. And the angels rose up and they blinded the people. And the angels rose up. And look at this. The angels rose up and said, Lot, get your stuff together. We're getting out of here. We're coming out of this mess. We're coming out. And the Bible says, look at this. The Bible says, Lot hesitated. Lot hesitated. Lot hesitated. Lot hesitated. Sodom had gotten into him. Sodom had gotten into him. And I love this next part. The Bible says, the Bible says the angels took him by the hand. The Bible says the angels grabbed a hold of him. And they said, we're getting out of here. We're leaving this place. And God rescued him and took him out before the fire fell. Oh, I'm so glad 2,000 years ago, Jesus come to this earth and he died on a cross and he took us by the hand and he led us out and led us into the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Oh, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He led us out. And be honest, he had to just about take you by the hand to do it. Amen. He had to grab a hold of you and get you out of that mess that we'd all got ourselves into. Amen. Oh, but thank God the blood of Jesus washed everything away that stood against us. And he saved us. And now we have an advantage over the enemy because we're not walking in darkness. We're walking in light. He took us out, got us out of that mess. Folks, we're not going back. Amen. Say, I'm not going back. Hallelujah. Just look at what the enemy do. The Bible says that he is a deceiver. Revelation chapter 12 says he deceives the nation. 2 Corinthians says he is an angel of light. When he shows up, he don't show up looking like the devil and like Satan and evil and all. That's not how he shows up. He shows up as light. He shows up with deception. He will deceive you. He will trick you. That's why you need the gift of discernment so that you can see what he's doing and how he's lying to you and deceiving you and painting this pretty picture that will draw you in if you're not careful. The other thing the Bible says that he will do is steal the word. He will rob the word. He will cause you to doubt. Hath God not said? He will start to steal and rob and cause you to doubt that word, and you start questioning God. And when you start questioning God and start questioning the Bible, he is stealing the word of God right out of you. He is ripping the word of God out of you. And that's one of his strategies is to get. And we hear so much today about the word of God and is the word of God for today? And can we really believe the word of God and that parts of it apply and parts of it don't? Folks, I'm here to tell you, if you start throwing away portions of the word of God, where do you stop? Who do we put in charge? Tell me, who do we put in charge of telling us what's right and what's wrong in the Word of God? Who makes that decision to say this is God and this is not? Folks, once we start down that slope, and it's a slippery slope, once we start down that slope, there's no end to it. If you start throwing away parts of the Word of God, you might as well throw it all away because that's what's going to end up happening. You're going to throw it all away. And he is stealing the Word. A very popular minister's wife not too long ago on the Oprah show said, do we really have to still live by these 2,000-year-old letters that were written? Do we still have to live by these 2,000-year-old letters? These things were written thousands of years ago, trying to govern our life today. Folks, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And he's trying to steal the Word. He's trying to rob the Word. The other thing he does is hinder the gospel. Oh, he hates the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is good news. Amen. If you come today for bad news, I don't have any bad news. All I got's good news. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus came to save us and redeem us. It's good news. The gospel of Jesus is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. It's the power of God. And he hates the gospel. He hates it. That's why it's always amazed me. Have you ever noticed how the devil hates the name of Jesus? Have you noticed that? He don't care what other name you say. You can go, you can get on national TV and say, Buddha, 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 Buddha. And the national TV host won't give a rip. They won't care. You can say Buddha all you want to. You can say Muhammad. You can speak any other name. You can talk about all you want. But you start speaking the name of Jesus and you get on and Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, they have a problem with that. And it's because the devil has a problem with it. He hates that name because he knows people are healed in that name. He knows people are saved in that name. He knows people are delivered in that name. He knows people are set free in that name. They hate the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But then they try to turn right around in the same breath and say there's nothing to him. He wasn't the Son of God. He was nobody. Might have been a great prophet. He's no big deal. Here's my response to that. Well, if he's no big deal, then why are you so afraid of his name? And why can't I say the name of Jesus? You're not making sense to me. It's just crazy. He's nothing. He's a nobody. Well, then his name shouldn't bother you. But the truth of the matter is he is a somebody. The truth of the matter is he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He that was dead and is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Take that, devil. You just go around saying it all day long. Jesus, 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 Jesus is the sweetest name I know. There's no other name like the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He brings sickness. The Bible says that because of the sins of Adam and Eve, that death came upon. That's where sickness was introduced. There was no sickness. Folks, look at what sickness is of the Lord. When God created the world, he didn't create sickness. There was no sickness when God created the world. God didn't. That God showed you right there. He don't create sickness. God didn't make sickness. When God made the world, there was no sickness. There was no death. God's not a God of death. He's not a God of sickness. He's a God of life. But the devil will make you sick. He will bring sickness on you, and he will bring despair, and he will bring emotional sickness and mental sickness and physical sickness, but God's a healer. Amen. Hallelujah. He will hinder your prayer life. I tell you, the devil will do everything he can to keep us from praying, to keep us from being a praying people, and keep us from talking to God. Amen. He sets traps. He blinds men to the truth. He creates doubt. He causes strife and division. These are the strategies. These are the schemes of the enemy that he brings against us. So what do we do? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the whole armor, the full armor of God. So that you and me and all of us can stand against the schemes of the enemy. Put on the helmet of salvation. Guard your mind with the word of God. Do you know it begins with your thought life? It begins with your thought life. The enemy starts creating thoughts and gets you thinking about it and dwelling on it. And he starts taking over your thought life. And that's why you got to control your thoughts. Depression and anxiety and fear, those things begin with little thoughts and they grow and they grow and they multiply and they take over your life. Not only put on the helmet of salvation, but put on the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible says that you have been made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I don't mean put on your righteousness, but I mean put on the righteousness of Jesus. Cover yourself in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the enemy starts telling you you're no good, you failed, you've made so many mistakes and you're nothing and you're nobody, you remind him that I am bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am wearing the breastplate of righteousness, and I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Amen. I have been made righteous through what Jesus did, not through what I did. I couldn't do anything. The Bible says your righteousness is like filthy rags. Don't put that on. You know how many people are walking around with filthy rags on? Legalist, Traditionalists, they wear their own rags and think somehow their own works are going to get them to salvation. Well, I tell you what, you wear your rags, I'm wearing the breastplate of righteousness that Jesus put on. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not walking up to God's throne wearing my righteousness. Put on the shoes of the gospel. It's our mission. Folks, it's our heartbeat to preach the gospel of Jesus. Paul said, I preach Christ and Him crucified. That is forever our message. Our message is Jesus and the cross. 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 That's what we're called to do, and that's what we're going to do, and that's our mission. And we'll do it here, and we'll do it around the world, and we'll preach Jesus and Jesus, and that He died for the sins of the world, and that He washes everything away through His blood. Put on the belt of truth. Folks, we need to walk in integrity. It's important that we walk. That doesn't mean perfection. There's a difference between perfection and integrity. But to walk in integrity is a desire. Integrity is a desire and movement toward perfection. And that's our heart, is that we walk toward the things that God has called us to, and that our testimony is honorable among all men. Because they see you when you talk one thing and walk another. And they're not going to listen to the talk when the walk's not what it ought to be. The other thing is take up the shield of faith. Above all, take the shield of faith. Folks, at some point, we got to start believing the Word of God. We have to start believing the Word of God and take up the shield of faith, that I believe and I have faith in the Lord. And the sword of the Spirit, that's your only offensive weapon, by the way. Every other thing we've mentioned is defensive. Your only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit. There's power in the Holy Spirit. There's power in the Holy Spirit. And then He said, stand. Stand. Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. That means give him no ground. Amen. Give him no ground. He's not welcome here. The Bible says in James 4:7, resist the devil. Resist him. That word resist in the Greek means fight. Stand your ground against him. Oppose him. One of the problems we've had is that the church has lost its backbone. One of the problems we've got today is that Christians have lost the ability to speak up and say, this is what we believe and this is what we stand for, and we are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. First Peter 5:8 says, be sober and be vigilant. Be alert. Be watchful. Strengthen those things that remain. And you've got some powerful weapons, by the way, against the enemy. And I'll ask our praise team to come back. You've got some powerful weapons against the enemy. And I want you to look at what they are. And we're going to go into some worship here. We're going to do some warfare. Do you know what your weapons against the enemy are? One is the blood of Jesus. Amen. Wow. And I'm going to tell you right now, the devil hates the blood. The blood makes him scream. The blood torments him. The blood is the reason he lost. Because he's defeated. He's defeated. The battle belongs to the Lord, and God's already won that battle. And you start applying your weapons that you have when the enemy's coming against you. You let him know, wait a minute, before you come any further, you need to know something. There's a bloodline between me and you. Before you come any closer to my family, before you come any closer to my marriage, before you come any closer to my children, I want you to know this family and this home is covered by the blood of Jesus. And we put the blood of Jesus over our door. Amen. The other thing you have is the Word of God. Whew. Word of God. Yeah. Folks, speak the Word. Proclaim the Word. Declare the Word. Speak it out loud. Proclaim the Word of God. Draw that sword out. that sharp two-edged sword and use it and speak the word of God. I am healed in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, I am healed. Pull that sword out. I am an overcomer in the name of Jesus by his blood. Pull that sword out. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And let him know who you are and what you stand for and speak it out loud. And don't be ashamed of it. You have the blood, you have the word, and you have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is with us every day. Amen. He's a constant companion that walks with you and goes with you. And lastly, and I've already talked about it, you have the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. You use those weapons against the enemy. I want us to stand up. Hallelujah.